When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
The frustration for me sometimes with healing is there's more to it than I had anticipated that needs to be taken care of.
100% doesn't look the same each day. You know, if you've only got 10% in the tank and you burn that 10%, you've given 100%.
Sometimes in our pursuit to break generational curses, we end up breaking ourselves even more the process.
Hello and welcome to the Two My Sisters podcast. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Renee, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the Two My Sisters podcast.
We are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters all around the world.
And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the reality of healing, generational trauma, overcoming fear, cyclical problem. It's going to be a lot today. So we hope that you have your hot beverage or cold beverage, whichever you prefer, that gives you some kind of comfort during such times. And we're going to get right into the thick of it. But before we do, we definitely have some housekeeping announcements.
We do.
First of all, by God's grace, you'll be able to see our faces if you're watching on YouTube. Hey, sisters, we're back.
Hello.
Yeah.
So, to clarify, because some of you didn't see the post, the comments and stuff, and we've received a few wild comments.
Not haters, but a few wild comments.
We understand you guys love the podcast. We love the podcast.
We do.
What happened before we went to South Africa was because we knew we were going to be away, we were like, the girlies need content. So let's bulk film our content, right? So what we did was bulk film about 5-6 episodes, which you guys have been seeing whilst we've been gone. And if you listen back to the episode, you can constantly hear us saying, guys, this is like recorded well in advance. We haven't even got South Africa yet.
Signposting.
But because we were recording in bulk, we weren't checking all the footage in between because we didn't need to. Only for me to go and start editing all of these episodes ahead of our departure to South Africa and find that most of the clips that we have recorded have been corrupted. So I can't even edit them, like import them to edit them, because there's glitches, there are missing frames, all of this stuff. And so it just meant that all we had was the audio. At this point, it's just a few days before we go to South Africa. Now, guys, before you come at us, we work outside of this podcast. So there was no opportunity for us to be. And also, we're about to travel. We've got to prepare for this retreat, all of that stuff. So there was no opportunity for us to sit down and say, you know what we're going to do 3 days before we travel? Spend about 12 hours re-recording all of this footage. And so we had to make the executive decision to just at least put out the audio. Now, as you know, this is a podcast, right? And it's not primarily a video podcast. I know the girlies on YouTube, you guys love us, and thank you so much for all of the support. The majority of the podcast listens actually come from audio streaming platforms. And so, unfortunately, I was just like, you know, let's just put the audio on YouTube. Let's put out something so that you guys can listen to us, especially because YouTube is your native platform if you listen to us on YouTube. And the response, you guys were so supportive, like the majority of you were really supportive and really understanding when we put in the description and in some of the comments that we were having a tech issue. Sorry that we gave you late notice. Again, we were in South Africa, all of these episodes were just pre-scheduled, and we were out in South Africa outside.
We weren't in our hotel
just vibing, we were outside. And so yes, we did notify you a bit late. And so I guess some of you saw that there weren't video visuals and thought, is this a new format?
No.
This is not a new format. This was a critical error.
This was
this was a critical error. And it wasn't our fault. tech is tough, man. And like, honestly, from a more vulnerable standpoint, as you guys saw for this season, season 5, we set up a new camera setup, yeah. Right? So we had 3 different angles. So many of you loved it. So many of you were applauding us for upping our production quality. But in full transparency, we don't have any production assistants, yeah. Right? The people behind the camera are the people you're seeing sitting in front of the camera. I literally have this iPad. If you ever see me looking down on an episode,
facts.
I'm looking at this.
Big facts, big facts.
But alongside having this iPad, we also had 2 phones and 2 laptops recording 2 different audio. Guys, it was a crazy, crazy setup. Yeah, and one thing you can't see is if a file is like being recorded incorrectly. It's only when you go to review what's on the SD card. So I did not notice that there was anything wrong. Yeah, there was no way I can notice while we're recording that there is anything wrong with the footage we're recording. And so my faith was in the tech, but honestly, it's very overwhelming managing all of this, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and all the screens, and then also trying to host a conversation. So please, all we ask for is grace. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of you love seeing our face, you love seeing our reactions.
We love being here as well.
We love being here, we love producing the video and the social clips. This was as inconvenient for us as it probably was for a lot of you, yeah. But please have grace that we're just 2 girls trying to figure this thing out. But we appreciate your patience. The videos are back, the other 2 angles are not here at the moment. Whilst we still sort out the issues with the SD cards and the camera setup, we're going to be invested in production assistance, because at this point it's necessary.
Yeah, it's giving jail time.
But yeah, thank you for your patience, and just wanted to clear all of that up. No visuals is not a new format.
Yeah,
it was a mistake. Like, it was an error on the text part, which is actually what frustrates me most. Like, that's actually one of my biggest pet peeves. When tech does not cooperate with you.
Because that's what you're here for.
And it's so freaking expensive for you to give out on me.
It's like when the Wi-Fi in our building stops. I'm like, we're paying too much.
I could actually punch the air. Like, I could actually punch the air.
Punch the connection.
Just strangle the waves. Strangle the waves. It really, really is annoying. So, like, please believe me when I say this was more, like, probably more so frustrating for us, for me, than it was anything, because I felt like I had failed. Like, I'm trying to manage this production. Yeah. I am a content creator by profession. Yeah. And then to see all of that and know that that meant for 2-3 weeks, there weren't going to be visuals, I was pissed. It meant that there was no YouTube Shorts, there were no TikToks, there were no IG. Yeah. I was upset. I understand that. But give us some grace.
Give us grace. And I think it's also important that we love you guys.
We
dearly.
Do.
We, with everything in us, we love the sisterhood, the community, all of that jazz. And we're very receptive to feedback.
Yeah, we are.
However, we are receptive to feedback that is kind.
Yeah, this sisterhood, we're sensitive people, you know.
Can you imagine? We just open up. Okay, so the comments were mostly nice. There were
quite mostly, a lot absolutely.
Folks that especially even commented on our like notice saying, hey guys, you know, we love what you're doing. This is what we'd love to see from you. There are some of you, can you be nice?
It was a bit extreme.
We're going through a lot. And as your sisters that are trying to do this work, not just, you know, in front of the camera, but behind the camera, there was a lot of things that we were managing, to be super transparent.
We
had a live show, a whole live show coming up in South Africa. We were also showing up for the incredible girls on the South Africa retreat. We wanted to make sure that we were still showing up for our sisters across the globe.
Yeah. So and this our real life.
Yeah. And our real life. As Courtney mentioned, look, this podcast, as much as we adore it and, you know, we love content creation, we love creating community, we are getting to a place where we'll be able to dedicate our full time to it. Until then, we need the grace. So we are building, the only thing that we ask is actual kindness and love and prayers and all that jazz. Like, it's actually super important to us. So we don't want to be discouraged, because if the sisters are discouraged, y'all ain't getting nothing from us. You ain't getting nothing. So we'd appreciate when you do share feedback, just be kind.
Yeah.
And just in general, when you're on the internet and sharing any kind of thoughts, really think about how it makes other people feel.
Yeah.
And remember that they're human beings. We are human beings at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So.
And thank you, and shout out to everyone who used it as an opportunity to also just be like, guys, we really appreciate all the content you've put out already.
Yeah.
We understand that this is just a down season and you'll be back. You'll be back. And so, just thank you so much. Thank you for the affirmation and the encouragement. I think what you said about not being discouraged is actually really important. Yeah. And this isn't us like, oh, woe is us, everyone is against. Yeah. Absolutely not. What we've built is beautiful. The last few weeks are testament to that. Yeah. It's just a reminder that we are a community and we are all trying to do this together. And so you guys' encouragement actually really goes a long way to keep us on the ball, especially when things get this tiring. But not to be like, oh, you know, we were traveling the world and we're so exhausted. Oh, the life of celebrities.
Because let me tell you, the next housekeeping, the sisters from South Africa. No. I don't know if maybe we need to dedicate a whole episode to them or something.
Lessons from SA.
TMS Hot Takes, we'll dive deep into it as much as we can. But South African sisters, you guys stood up. The love that we have for you, different from top to bottom. When we entered that airport,
as soon as we got into that country,
it felt like a rejuvenation.
Apart from Air France, Air France, count your days. Hey, why did my suitcase get broken in so many ways?
It was beaten. Flopped.
Somebody was throwing that thing around purposefully. It's like they knew it was mine.
Guys, we got off that plane. We went to go collect our baggage.
I said, where are my wheels?
I said, Courtney, are you good? I was hearing scare. I said,
where are my suitcase?
I said, what is that noise? Courtney looked at me. She said, the wheels are missing. The wheels on the bus are not going round.
But that was an Air France issue. As for South Africa.
Speaking of France, guys, hold on.
Oh my God. Story time.
Guys, okay. Story time. Maybe it was just the entry too. That's how you know that the enemy knew that we were coming to a place of wonder.
For real.
For real. Because he was doing everything in his capacity.
To frustrate us.
So we took a flight from, you know, London to Paris and then Paris to Johannesburg. Yeah. France. French sisters, I know, listen, I know that this is not a representation of you.
Of you, it's not.
But the security in your country are rude.
Their man are protecting the jewels of the country in that airport.
I ain't feeling anybody. No, look. I'm not feeling anybody. I'm wearing a wig, okay? I'm not feeling anyone. You know this is not my hair. You've seen my hair texture. It's glorious 4C, okay? Yeah, glorious 4C. I wore a wig thinking that this would not cause any kind of altercations, problems, all that kind of jazz. So I'm going through, you know, French security.
Yeah.
And all is well, all that jazz. I fling my things. They said, oh, you know, laptop out of the bag. Phones, tech, all that jazz. So I put all my things, my belongings. Yeah. I'm going. I enter through, you know, the security and whatnot. It's beep, beep, beep. And then my good sister is like, so, like, what you got? I said, there's clearly nothing, you asked me for all of my things. She said, oh, what do you have up there? I said,
ma'am, can you lift up your wig?
Ma'am.
So bear in mind, I've already gone through security. Everything's cool. I've already had my little riffraff situations with people like giving me attitude. I said, it's all right. I just want to get to my place. So I've gone through and I look back and I'm like, where's Renee? And I'm looking, as soon as I look at Renee, all I said, she was wearing a headband wig. All I see is her lifted the headband off her wig. I said, that's outrageous. What's good? I've never seen that before.
I ain't blended nothing
and
underneath
then there. Renee turns around and you know when they're like patting your body and this lady who's very small actually.
She's half my height.
She's now reaching up like this. Sorry, can you turn around so I can demonstrate? Why am I, this is why you guys needed visuals back in it. Why am I seeing her doing this? I said, what kind of security?
Do you know what I mean?
What have you guys, is the terrorism that bad?
Do you want me to undo my cameras? No, it was when I say I have never felt violated before when I've gone through security.
How are you this was the first time like that?
This was the first time I said, you are black. I went through that security process. It said, you are a black citizen. I don't care where you're from. You're black.
I don't care where you're coming from.
I don't care what,
I don't care what you've been through.
I don't care what you've been through. I don't care. In fact, I care where you're going because you're going to the land of the blacks. And the way she patted my
wig down. Renee was serious. It was serious. That violation. Was giving hate crime.
Fam. And even on the way back, yeah, you know, like how you can get like duty free, like drinks and whatnot. So I said, I wanted to bring like grape tizer.
Yeah.
So for those of you that know about like apple tizer and stuff, we don't have grape tizer in the UK, but we had it in South Africa. I wanted to bring back some grape tizer because I love me a good grape juice, sparkling grape, you know, all that jazz. I went to go and purchase it, and the lady gave it to me in a regular carrier bag. I said, I'm going to France.
I've already been there.
I need you to give me a duty-free bag and seal this thing, because I tell you, these people are not going to play if I come and say, and even if it's a transit. She looked at me funny and she said, okay, you know, I'll acquiesce. So she puts it in a duty-free bag with the receipt, all that kind of stuff, seals it. I get to France. Courtney is again standing on the other side waiting for me. They were like, oh, so what is this? I said,
it's great. Sealed bag.
The receipt is in the middle. I said, it's great. And she's like, oh, do you mind if I, you know, check it? I said, you know, do your thing. I anticipated this nonsense from you. This babe ripped this bag. She took a pen to open this bag.
They checked
each and every can. And they put in this little.
Literally. At Paris heel. Maybe listen to this episode. I don't know what you've been through, and I don't know what in the Islamophobia terrorist fearmongering is going on, but you guys are doing entirely too much for people who are transiting through an airport. We haven't even stepped outside.
We haven't left the airport. Air France, change your ways. You cannot sponsor this podcast just
if
yet.
You do not change, if you your, don't change ways. Your ways. Sorry. So that was the transit there. But as soon as we got to South Africa, guys.
Fantastic.
The love, the favor, glory be to God. The sun. This is one of the most beautiful countries I've ever set my foot in.
We want to come back.
The food was good. Oh!
We want to come back. God. Bring us back. The love. Oh my gosh. Guys, I kept on saying, I was like, I felt like a guest pastor at the TMS live show.
Yeah.
The love, oh my gosh. We have sisters in South Africa. You guys stood up.
Oh, what? So before we even get into the live show, shout out to the girls that came with us to the SA retreat. If you're new to the TMS community, every year we do an international retreat with some of our listeners, and we do like travel experiences. Yeah. And South Africa, firstly, shout out to Sorted Chalet. Jeez. Edwina and Vedette on our Sorted Chalet team, who came on this trip with us. Mm-hmm. God bless you both, because you did such an amazing job. The itinerary was fantastic, from wine tasting to a safari. Guys, we saw giraffes. It came into our truck. We saw lions, we saw hyenas, which stink. My god, what an offensive scent. That is an odor.
Those things.
God.
And when they were like, oh, you can get close, I said,
you can't convince me these things are not carrying disease. Stop. They have rabies.
It's when they were rolling around in their own
self. Anyway.
Y'all definitely not the king of the jungle.
At all. So anyways, safari, just 14 course fabulous. Dinners. It was fabulous. But shout out to the girls that came from all over the world. Literally. Like the States, the UK, Guadeloupe.
Miss Guadeloupe.
Miss Sarah. Listen. From Paris, Netherlands. Like, you guys fantastic. Did your big one. Like, God actually bless you. God actually bless you.
We had a time. And I think every time we go on these international experiences, we really remember, wow, we have sisters.
For real.
But also the intentional sisterhood building, like from the journal corners to the actual experiences, just spending time and hanging out with women that really resonate with our experiences or women that have been through X and being able to gist and jive and have fun. If you've never been on a TMS Exalted Chalet travel experience and you're part of the sisterhood, I am telling you, you're missing out.
Yeah, put it on your bucket list. Honestly, like, we're not going to stop these things anytime soon. We just will probably only go to countries once.
Yeah.
So put it on your bucket list. And when it aligns for you financially, like, I think it will be really worth you coming. The women you get to meet, the experiences you get to have, the conversations we get to have, crazy. So yeah, shout out to everyone who actually, it still blows my mind that people trust us enough to travel with us to another place that they've never been to. So now we're here planning the next one, and we'll let comment down below, where do you think we should go? Because if you guys sleep on the job, Kenya will snatch us.
Kenya will snatch us. Biggest man thing, because we even put out on Instagram, oh guys, where do you want to sit? Nairobi.
Kenyan girls learned from the SA girls. They said the same way SA drew they you came there together. We will pull you here.
They came together. Even the South African sisters, y'all have a group chat. So yes, guys, we did the live show. Oh my gosh, the live show was an experience. The level of sisterhood and love that was in that room, insane. Yeah. Like, genuinely insane. And we thank every single person that purchased the ticket to come. We had the time of our lives, quite literally. But after the live show, this group of 100 plus women decided we're going to make a group chat to stay in contact.
We're in a group chat now.
Crazy.
And they were there. People were asking for recommendations for things. Like, it's really a community. Shout out to everybody who came. Thank you for the love, the flowers, the gifts. Awesome. Thank you to Barbara.
Barbara.
Our Ms. new B. little sis.
Honestly, Ms. B.
For hosting the event so well. Like, things are so nice in that country. You guys really received us. And I think the reason why we want to like shout it out is I think it blew our minds that from this couch here in South London, not me putting our area out there like
they
that.
They don't know. South London's big.
Wherever we are anyway,
we're covered the spirit by the blood.
Like, we've been able to actually build a community of people on the other side of the world
Insane.
Who would actually show up.
Insane.
Thank you for showing us what God is doing here.
Honestly.
And that room for the SA live show, it's actually really good that we're talking about healing today, because I think that's the best way to describe the atmosphere in that room. Really healing. Really healing.
Boy, the things that the sisters are going through.
What they shared.
Yeah.
Anyway, when we do a TMS live event near you, come. Like, and bring your all. Show up as you are. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have done all the work. Just show up.
Just show up,
and
man.
Just, yeah. It was wonderful.
It was actually... we know that the Cape Town girlies are actually still mad. We're working.
But
shout out to the Cape Town girlies that did show up at the Johannesburg show. Shout out to the girls from... People flew in from, like, Zambia.
Mozambique.
There was a babe from Malawi. Like, be for real.
What the hell?
Be for real. It's giving Sisterhood Global.
For real.
Sisterhood Global.
Honestly, thank you all so much. Hopefully... life brings us back to that side of the world again.
Hopefully soon. For those of you that are in South Africa and support this work, in fact, the sisters on the continent, we need you to arise and shine. No, Avengers Assemble. True. Because word on the street is TMS Africa Tour. Ooh, word on the street. We want to bring it into the sidewalk
for
and
real.
Then eventually into the actual house.
Yeah.
So help us do that.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Yes, please. And a big, big, big shout out to Spotify Africa.
Yeah.
Because whilst we're out there, we had the opportunity to host a masterclass, Spotify for Podcasters.
Got the mic.
A masterclass with two of my sisters happened whilst we were in SA. And it was just brilliant to sit in a room of like-minded creators and just talk about podcasting and share what is happening here with the sisterhood. So,
yep.
Just thank you for the opportunities. This is a very surreal part of life. And I hope this all explains why the visuals just, we couldn't stay on top of the work. So yeah, we just ask that you pray, you know,
keep praying.
Pray for the future. Just pray that we continue to experience all of these open doors in new nations.
Yeah.
And all of these amazing connections to be able to make things happen. Send the affirmations, send the well wishes, send everything.
Everything
like,
you got, man.
All the manifestations, whatever y'all do. Do it in a positive way.
Filtered through the blood.
Hallelujah. And, but honestly, like, just thank you all so much for the love, because ultimately we could not do this without your support.
Yeah.
If this was not an active, engaged community, we could not do this without
not
you.
Not at all.
So thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, sisters. And before, I know we have nattered on it.
We have. It's been like the first half.
I know. Very quickly, just a shout out to all of you guys that purchased our paperback book.
Oh.
We are seeing it on social media. We are seeing it in person. We are literally bamboozled every time someone's like, hey, can you sign this book? I'm like, oh, you bought it?
Bro, we saw it in a bookshop in South Africa, like through the airport to
Insane.
Cape Town. Our book was there on shelves.
Not in France, though. But we definitely saw it.
Actually, somewhere in France, it's just not at the airport.
Chad, how are we gonna do TMS in France or
I
TMS
don't know if
in that?
Has to be a niece or something.
They gonna make me, if I got like braids, they gonna make me unravel the braids, be like, what you got in there? But yeah, shout out to everybody that has supported us with our
please.
Book. We are so elated at the response that we have gotten to this little
For
book.
Real.
She real cute. So if
she
you haven't picked her up already, you ought to.
You really ought to. Oh, what a brilliant time.
Fantastic.
Shout out to life.
Honestly and truly.
Oh, well, that's the end of our housekeeping segment of today's episode. A bit longer than usual. You
Deep
guys
clean.
Already know we've been trying to keep up with the timestamps.
Yeah.
So some of you are jumping.
Yeah, some of you have even jumped.
It's fine. You should go back and listen to the things that God has done. But also...
Sorry, do you know how funny that is?
But also, actually, for everyone who's like, oh, this is so long... A word of encouragement for you. You got to make it valuable.
Yeah,
people come for value.
Yeah.
A point of encouragement for you. whatever that idea is that you have right now, start it. Do it. Even in the most like early stage, first iteration that you can, like the lowest barrier to entry, do it. We started this podcast in a bonnet, like with bonnets on, in my childhood bedroom, just doing audio only, right? Like we were just banging it out, having fun, trying our best to serve, and now we are here. And yes, it is a product of hard work and effort and blah blah blah, but it's also just doing what you've been purposed to do, doing what you've been called to do, and choosing to take the risk to be obedient. It will always pay off in some way,
always.
And it may not look like this, but oh, it might even be grander. Like our prayer for you is that things that you do and things that you touch excel, they take off, they prosper, and they have impact that literally opens doors and opportunities for you. So yeah, be encouraged. Let this be a testimony that actually allows you to focus on what you're called to build and what your visions are for the world and for your life.
I love that. And you can't build and get to the end if you don't go from the beginning. So if you skip, go back to the beginning.
Absolutely. You won't understand why I'm saying that. So this is your episode.
Whilst we were away, whilst we were away, people were still in need.
Yeah,
in
absolutely. Fact,
there was a proliferation, if you will, of sisters that were in need. And also, can I, like, this is the month of love that we're still in. Boys, men, stop. Why are you troubling the sisters still? Yeah, stop it.
We did add one final housekeeping announcement. We're in New York this weekend.
God, damn.
We are about to literally just stopping through London quickly. I know you're going to be very mad. And this is a quick reminder. If you don't follow us on social media, if you're not signed up to the mailing list, you're really fumbling.
You'll miss out.
Because we have a sold out event.
Yeah, by the time
you leave this weekend.
And it was free.
And it was free of charge. Shout out to Ava Estelle.
Yeah, man. I'm sure by the time you listen to this, we had a great time. Sorry, guys. We'll be back, though. Listen, there's a special.
Oh, it's actually so true. Yeah. We're probably doing the event right now.
As we speak, we're painting and sipping.
Yeah, paint and sip.
Woo.
A paint and pour.
But sisters, let us know, like, what do you want us to do? What kind of events do you want to see in your hometown? Yeah. What kind of exciting bits and pieces? How can we pop up? Yeah, because it may be a live show. It may be the, you know, somebody said live show and weekend retreat. Woo, I said, oh.
That's actually a really cool idea.
That's
though.
Cool.
A little time to just have a break.
A little spa, something, you know, talking about all that healing stuff that you guys talk about on the podcast. So we could do something like that. Folks that have been, you know, in our DMs. Sorry, guys, we're coming. you know, doing fitness classes together, like sisterhood, just sisterly stuff. And, you know, summer is finally on the way past, you know, spring is a bit slow, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that we know what kind of meetups, community events would really speak to you and your community.
Yes, ma'am.
Where do we need to go? What do you want us to do? Drop it like it's hot in the comments
Simple
below.
Questions.
But New York, sorry about that.
Yeah. But yeah, sorry. New York, see you on Sunday. See you on Sunday.
Yeah, you're even seeing that as you're speaking.
Saw you on Sunday.
Saw you on Sunday. It was great, Rad. We wonderful. Had a great time. Yeah.
We'll be back soon.
Had a good time.
Amen.
Anyways, moving on, we have a ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
Hello, Renee and Courtney.
What's up?
Thank you for creating this amazing space for the sisters.
Try our best.
I have a dilemma about navigating finances in a relationship.
I like.
I've been dating my boyfriend for almost a year and we are both hustling African immigrants in the United States.
Wonderful.
Working in tech. I'm in my early 20s and he is knocking on 30.
Okay.
We don't like our jobs and we share the same goal of, it's going downhill from there, isn't it? We don't like our jobs and share the same goal of achieving financial freedom.
Yeah.
The problem is that we have very different views on how to manage money. He enjoys spending on luxury items while I like to save more. Now, he's not selfish or irresponsible. He picks up the tab on our dates, helps his family back home. All good there. When it comes to marriage, he sees it as his role to provide, but he would expect me to chip in to reduce his load. I'm not opposed to contributing, but I would hate to be paying bills, as small as they might be, while he is out there buying designer clothes and diamond necklaces.
Understandable.
It feels like because he knows I am making good money too, he can rely on me for certain things and keep on splurging. Meanwhile, I dream about quitting my job and becoming a housewife.
Oh,
I might be too influenced by the hashtag sprinkle sprinkle content on social media, to be fair.
Yeah.
Money is a big deal in relationships and I don't want it to cause problems in ours. I love him and see myself married to him. He is almost everything I want, yet I feel resentful when he spends lavishly. I don't see myself working full-time as a mom, so I need reassurance that my future husband can hold it down for the family. I brought up the subject to him a couple of times, but our conversation seemed to be going in circles. I'm confused and don't know what to do. Please help a sister out. Thank you.
Oh, this is a good dilemma, Chair.
Yeah, it is, mate.
Completely understandable where you are at right now. I think with relationships that are trying to progress towards marriage, the biggest thing at this stage is value alignment.
Yeah.
What are your values, right? If he's a spender and you're a saver, you need to reconcile what's going to work for us. Right now, you need to start thinking about what are our strategies to make our marriage work. Most marriages which end in divorce are usually led by financial issues, mm-hmm. right? And it's not financial issues in terms of lack. It's financial issues in terms of financial differences and differences in your approach to managing, spending, saving, investing, finances.
Yep.
And so this is a very important conversation. And I know you said you've tried to bring up the conversation before and it keeps going around in circles. Do not be discouraged, because this is a conversation that needs to be had. You need to keep bringing it up. You need to find like times where both of you are in the right mindset to really talk about money. Yeah. And it may not even be in the first conversation just trying to get to a solution, but really just trying to understand each other's money mindset, each other's money goals as well. Especially him, he needs to become aware of what you envision your future to be and what you want. And you also need to listen to what he envisions his vision, his future to be and what he wants. And you have to discern and decide whether there is alignment there. And if there isn't, the question now is, the next conversation is, how do we get aligned, right? Some of you may need to either of you may need to compromise. He may need to start thinking, okay, crap, if we're trying to build a future that looks like, well, firstly, what is the future you're trying to build and what does that look like? Now he has to ask himself, if we're trying to build a future that looks like this and I've agreed to that, what do I need to do in terms of maybe cutting back on my spending, adjusting my spending habits, increasing my savings, my income, whatever, so that we can make that happen? And you need to think about the same as well, because he may pull you to the middle point where you're like, okay, maybe instead of being a full-time parent, a stay-at-home mom, I will work part-time. Or maybe he expects me to have some kind of income coming in, but he doesn't require me to actually go to work. But if it's like, no, staunchly, I do not want to touch a bill, I do not want to make a financial contribution to my household, and that's your value that you're not willing to compromise on, I'm so sorry to say, but you two may not be aligned to build a future together in agreement with one another. And that's a very rocky foundation to build a life on. So I would say, be open to hear his side, be very expressive in the most respectful and productive way of expressing your side and what you want. Be willing to compromise in a way that doesn't cause you to completely like throw your values and your desires in the bin, because if this is what matters to you, this is what matters to you. But as you express, as you compromise, really see if you do get to a solution. One thing I've realized is solution-oriented communication is what allows relationships to actually flourish. And so both of you should be on the same page of, I'm not fighting you, I'm not saying your way is wrong, I'm not saying my way is better, I'm not saying I will not budge, but what is the solution, right? Where do we, how do we get to a place where we both agree, and what is our agreement? And really like write things down, get the pen and paper, get the calculator, get everything that allows you to have a plan that you can both hold each other accountable to, if that makes sense. Like, you know, you remember when we had this conversation in 2024 and we said that when, you know, we get married, maybe after 3 years, I would quit my job and you would take care of all the household bills. Well, it's been 3 years, it's time. So things like that, have a point of reference you can both hold each other accountable to, that you both agree on and you're both preparing for. That's what I'd say.
I love that. Completely agree. And just echoing what you said about the fact that there are so many marriages and so many relationships that are broken up because there's such a misalignment of values. But around finances, it feels like the one that's always in red line.
Absolutely.
The one that is the most important and yet the one that we don't put the most investment into, funnily enough. So I love everything that you said. I think what's also very interesting is understanding the root of some of you guys' spending habits. I think it's very normal for both of your spending habits and both of your, the ways that you look at money to come as a result of your experiences, right? You mentioned that both of you are well-to-do, you know, African immigrants. And we know that when you come from that kind of background, it can either result in, you know, when you do get the money, I'm trying to enjoy my life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to spend more money on higher quality things. I really see money as an opportunity, or rather a conduit for me to enjoy my life at that particular level. Then there's also the perfectly reasonable manifestation, which looks like your way of thinking. And that is, hey, I really want to, you know, focus on my future. I want to make sure that I have some level of financial security before I feel comfortable enough to really think about, you know, spending or splurging in that particular way. I wouldn't say that one is better than the other. Again, it's just difference. It's difference in priorities, difference in, you know,
approach.
Exactly. Difference in approach, difference in, you know, thinking about money and how money is best used. But you do need to come to agreement. You absolutely do, absolutely, because money is so important within the scope of a relationship. And I think what's also good is that you are starting to identify some of the influences that you have. I know you mentioned hashtag sprinkle sprinkle, but that is actually an important thing, right? Like, do you want to be the traditional woman, and understanding what the reality of that looks like? And knowing that you actually cannot, you know, have your cake both ways, right? You can't have it and eat it. So if that is, if you do desire a relationship that actually looks like you being a more traditional whatever, are you ready to make those sacrifices in the future when it does come? Because I think it's easy for us when we're in this particular position to think, oh, you know, when the time comes, I'll just give up my job and just, you know, be a housewife. Is that really what you want? And can you anticipate for that when the season does come? Is that a conversation that you're prepared to have with your partner as well? Is he prepared to take on the bulk when, you know, you decide to, you know, have kids, or when you decide to step back from work? I think it's really important to also approach a relationship in the different phases that you're anticipating. So if you are going to have kids, it's like, okay, what's our plan for when we do have kids? What is our plan for this financial freedom that both of us speak about, but we don't have a very well articulated plan of what that actually looks like? So I definitely agree, you guys need to sit down and say, these are our goals, and maybe even attach very concrete and tangible goals. Because you mentioned this is the guy that you see yourself married to. If this is the guy that you see yourself married to, you need a plan.
For real.
You need some kind of understanding that both of you have agreed to, whether it's in writing, ideally in writing, some kind of like notes even as to what it is that you guys find important that you share and what you want to save towards. And then I think also like understanding for yourself what it is about his spending habits that annoy you, right? So there's this whole annoyance around, oh, you're always spending on designer items. Is it that you two, you want designer items, or that you want him to purchase and express the fact that he's a giver towards you? Because that is a legitimate like need or desire. And I think in tandem with the fact that, you know, you anticipate being a housewife at some point, I think there is a desire for him to, you know, take on that role as the provider in more ways than one, right? It's not just about like covering the bills or anything, but also, are there ways that he can express his love to you that makes you feel confident in his capabilities to provide? I think it's also nailing that and understanding what it is about his like spending habits that don't really sing to you that he is the provider that you would anticipate or want within that relationship. And then also, as you were saying, understanding what his expectations are too. Like, does he expect you to continue working whilst you are, you know, having the kids? Does he expect you to go back? Like, it's really important to at least start having those conversations rather than just, I know it's been going around in circles and stuff. If you find that you're actually not getting anywhere, this might be a really good time to bring in a third party.
Absolutely.
If you have any elders or any folks, you know, counseling, that kind of stuff, sometimes folks that are removed from the situation can give us the most clarity. And I think because you are so into getting married to this guy, sometimes our blinders can be up and we're not able to have those conversations, and we're probably less sharp or honest or blunt than we need to be within the scope of the conversation. So definitely think about maybe getting a third party. I know we were the first third party, but somebody that's close to you guys enough to be able to give you guys that advice and really consider that premarital counseling. Absolutely. That is so important,
especially given that this is not probably going to be a one and done conversation. So having someone who you can repeatedly like meet up with and be like, yo, this is how far we've gotten, but we still have a little bit of space,
things to go. But sis, we are praying for you. We are wishing you all the absolute best. And also praying that irrespective of what happens, both of you find, whether it's yourselves or somebody else, but hopefully it's you guys. We pray for a union that is built on solid ground, firm foundation across the spheres, not just spiritually or emotionally, but one that's actually rooted in the solid ground of aligned value systems.
Yeah, that's good.
All the best. All the best. But moving on to the meat and bones, de la creme, the man.
Do you have to add something?
You know what I was thinking about? This is how you know South Africa has my heart. I'm sorry. They have this like pudding with custard and ice cream.
The malva.
God.
So good.
That has my heart. So I had that for the first time when I said, don't take me back to the UK without this stuff.
Very good dessert.
So yeah, that fantastic. But moving on to the meat and bones of the conversation, which is all around the reality of healing, the reality of breaking generational curses, the whole overcoming trauma, all that kind of jazz. So yeah, I wanted to talk about this in particular. There's been a whole bunch of forces contributing to this topic. So I think...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You put it so beautifully when you mentioned, obviously, the retreat that we had with the South Africa sisters, both the ones that are local, but also the international folks that came with us on the retreat. Mm-hmm. And one of the most challenging parts of their stories was this process of healing.
Yeah.
Right? There were so many sisters that divulged their experiences of heartbreak, whether it be romantic heartbreak, platonic heartbreak, or even just the heartbreak of grief when you lose a loved one. And just this idea of healing. And also, like, super transparently, like, I'm also trying to go through a process of healing right now. And I thought this would be a really great topic of conversation because it seems that everybody's either gone through it. It's a season where, you know, the girls are breaking. And transparently, one of my biggest frustrations that I have with healing sometimes is that I still can feel like healing needs to be a linear trajectory, and feeling like you've made significant progress and then reverting, or feeling like something comes to knock you on the way, or, you know, just that reality that healing is not going to be something that you expect it to be. I guess I wanted to start with that, like the actual journey, the reality of healing. What does that look like, and why does it cause a lot of people such frustration going through it?
That's a really good question, because I think that is the prevailing emotion and reaction to the healing journey. It is frustrating. And I think it's exactly for what you identified. It's not linear. There's no direct correlation between input and output in the way that we tend to expect. You know, like, for example, you're a gym girly, and the expectation is, I'm doing this, I can track the progress. If all things balance out, the macros, the, you know, sets and all of that, this is exactly what my program should result in, this much weight loss. And it's sad that healing is not that scientific, right? It's not as scientific as that, should I say. So we can do the psychological work, go to therapy and stuff like that. But when it comes to the matters of the heart, our soul, our emotions, there are just so many different factors that come into play that have brought us up to this point, that unraveling all of that, doing the mending work for the broken pieces, just doesn't look like ABC or one plus one. Do you get what I mean? And that, for the human brain, which can be very results oriented, trying to figure things out, trying to have a plan, trying to have a perfect organization, because it's not systemic, it can be very frustrating, and we can constantly find ourselves asking, why is this not working? But I think what we need to remember is, like you said, because the healing journey is not linear, and because it's not as simple as I'm doing this so I should get this out, we should embrace that whilst it is not linear, it is still an upward trajectory, right? Whilst it is not very straightforward, it is still doable, right? And it takes a commitment to time, but I think that commitment produces in us a huge amount of patience. And I think a lot of us are cultivating patience towards everything else, but not towards ourselves. And so we can get frustrated with us, right? Like, why are you still triggered by that? Why are you still crying about that? Why is this person still frustrating you? Or why are you still heartbroken? Why haven't you gotten over the grief at this point? And it's like, because you're a human. And as much as you may be extremely self-aware, you also don't know everything. You're still learning about yourself, right? And different things trigger different things within us. And just because you handled this situation like that, or you know, somebody handled their situation like that, doesn't mean you will, right? Doesn't mean you're going to heal the same way. It's like with skin. So like I am quite susceptible to like keloids and stuff, and my skin is just my skin, it'd be mad sensitive, man. I get a scar, and the same scar, so the same injury can happen to someone else, and it just doesn't heal the same way, because my genetic makeup is unique to me. And it's the same with the healing journey. Your journey is unique to you, and what you've been through has hit you in different ways, and now your soul's healing is going to be again unique to you. And so one, you can't compare how you're healing to somebody else, and that can breed frustration as well. This person was able to get over it. I watched a YouTube video, they said it took them a year. It's been 3 years for me, I'm still not over it. Why am I behind? Why am I unable to get over this thing? It's not that you're unable, it just takes more time for you. And I think when we employ a bit more compassion towards ourselves, we'll be able to embrace that the healing journey is not linear, because we are different from other people. And I also think that through the healing journey, we not only recover, we learn so much about ourselves in the process. And I think when we rush that process, we deny ourselves the actual beauty of learning more about who we are, right? Learning more about what we need. It's like that example about the scarring. Now I know that there are different products that I need compared to other people. Now I know that, like, well, maybe you shouldn't go to this place and do this thing because you're more susceptible to like bruising than other people. Things like that. You learn more about your sensitivities. And I think when you go on a healing journey, you come face to face with the areas where you are most sensitive. And for a lot of women who listen to this podcast who are used to being strong, the idea of facing your own weaknesses is very scary. Very, very scary. But it's actually okay. Like, this is the place where you realize you're human and you need care. And I think that's the last thing I would say. Confront your frustration with care. Right? Like, okay, yes, I'm frustrated, but it doesn't mean I should now berate myself. It doesn't mean that I should now abandon the healing process. It just means I now need to show myself more care. And it reveals to me that I need to be handled with care. And I think with our message of community, when you're doing the healing journey in community, you're reminded that you need people to care for you. And that, I think, helps it to be less frustrating when you are surrounded by people who will care for you, who will have the patience for you, who will remind you, like, it's okay that you're not over this. I remember at the end of last year, I went through a heartbreak, guys. Oh my gosh.
That'll do it.
You know when you did not see something, it's like getting hit from the side in a car crash. I did not see this coming.
Because that is hot.
That's how it felt to me. And I was in a similar place of, okay, now I need to go on a healing journey. And I was almost getting upset with myself that I was injured. Do you get what I mean? I was like, imagine a car coming, hitting you in the side, and your first thought is, damn, why wasn't my body invincible? You know, and it's
Triggered.
Because you're a human being. You're a human being, and this thing shouldn't have happened to you. And I think it's us also acknowledging that this is a bad thing that's happened to me. This childhood trauma, this betrayal, mm-hmm. this heartbreak, whatever, it's actually something bad that's happened to me and I have been afflicted.
Yeah.
Like, we cannot deny that this is painful, right? Yeah. But I think what helped me in that season, as I was getting more frustrated with myself for being injured and for taking time to recover,
mm.
was I was talking to people who were constantly reminding me, you don't need to be healed by now.
Mm.
Do you get what I mean? Like, I know with healing, the rhetoric around healing online is, you need to heal. Like, if you want your perfect life to manifest, you need to be healed now.
Man, get out of here.
And it's like, it was nice to be surrounded by people who are like, it's okay to be broken.
Yeah.
It's okay to be fragile.
Yeah.
It's okay to cry. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to not be the perfect, you know, healing journey right now. It's okay to be hurt.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And that then kind of reminded me that, oh, these people care for me and I get to give myself care, to have people like you or people around me be like, what can I help you with? Because what you should do is give yourself the time to recover, and we're going to help you create that time.
Mm.
And so then it allowed me to not only, whilst I was dealing with the internal frustration, at least I wasn't frustrated with the fact that I wasn't being as productive as I could yeah. be, you know? I was just contending with one dimension of frustration, which yeah. was, wow, I'm injured.
Yeah.
But it was okay. I was able to give myself time to heal because other people were giving me that room.
Mm.
So yeah, confront your frustration with care. Like, you need to care. And I think a lot of us need to care for ourselves more. Mm-hmm. I think the more we, sorry, I've been talking for a long
no,
time.
You're good.
The more we talk about healing, and wellness on this podcast, the big thing surrounds take care of yourself.
Yeah.
But I think we do it on the outside, but we don't often dwell on how much patience and sacrifice taking care of something takes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
especially when it's taking care of ourselves.
Yourself. Yeah. Like, I'm not a mother yet, we're not mothers yet, but I can imagine when you're given the responsibility of taking care of someone else, I think that reality sets in that as frustrating as it may be,
mm-hmm.
you cannot leave that place of being a caregiver.
Yeah.
But I think for ourselves, as soon as we find ourselves frustrated, we abandon that role of caregiving towards ourselves. And it's like, ooh, that's actually the most important time for you to remember. Because most times when we act outside of frustration, we do more damage to a broken thing.
Exactly.
So that's what I would say about dealing with frustration with the non-linear progression of healing. How about you?
Absolutely love that. Triggered. High time.
Oh, no, me too. I do think that there's this resounding season everyone is in of going in through a new phase
something.
Of healing.
Going through, a new phase of healing. Yeah. I think that's it, right? It's understanding that the journey is not only linear, but can also be segmented.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain things within the healing process that you have to deal with. But then sometimes it can be quite frustrating when you realize, there's another layer to this. So seeing, you know, healing is not just any kind of fruit. It's not just an apple where you bite into it and there's that, you know, fleshly interior.
Mm.
It's an onion where you bite into it and there's actually layers to it.
Yes.
And that can be so annoying because you think that you have amassed all of the materials to overcome something only to realize actually there's more to that something that you wanted to overcome.
Yes.
I think even speaking from a place of personal experience, the frustration for me sometimes with healing is there's more to it than I had anticipated that needs to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And understanding that that requires an investment of time, an investment of caregiving and all of that jazz. And especially when you are a woman, I'm sure a lot of folks can, you know, resonate with this, right? Being a woman that's constantly on the go, you want to build stuff, you want to be a, you know, generational curse breaker, all that kind of jazz, you're going to be held together.
Yeah.
And it's like all of these like external, but now internal pressures want you, and we have that rhetoric, right, of you need to show up as the best version of yourself. And the best version of yourself is always the healed version of yourself in these rhetorics. So there's also that internal pressure of I need to make sure that I am held together or else I am delaying my own destiny.
Yeah.
And that is so frustrating, especially if you may have been like in a streak of doing everything perfectly or you've gotten into a routine or you're super productive and then something will come, like you were saying, a car crash that hits you even from the side. You were even preparing for the car crash from the front
or the behind
or from the behind, but this one came from the side and knocked you sideways. I think there's also the frustration around the loss of control that an injury can bring, right? It's not even just a loss of control in the fact that something happened to you. Yeah. A lot of us experience traumas that are a result of what has happened to us, and that loss of control can feel like such a violation. So, you know, when we lose someone or when something was done to us, it feels like almost the universe is like doling out some kind of
punishment,
you know, punishment for no reason. So there's that initial loss of control from what has happened to you.
Yeah.
But then sometimes even within the healing process, the loss of control around your healing, yeah, right? So the parameters of your healing. Why am I not ready yet? Why am I not over this? Why am I not pushing forward yet? And the realization that whilst up here says you're healed, down here says we need more time. And yeah, that is, yeah, one for me, oh, frustrates me so much because my brain will be going 100 miles per hour, like, come on, get it together. And transparently, even through some of the conversations we've had, having the realization that actually, Renee, you're not over this. Mm. And that's okay. And it's okay to make that time for yourself.
Mm.
I think even time is such a beautiful resource that we don't allocate to ourselves.
Oh, man.
We give it out for anybody that says,
don't
I'm going
keep
through
anything
it.
For
Listen,
ourselves.
I think maybe it would be worth thinking of ourselves in the third person. Like if, you know, Renee was coming to Renee and saying, look, you're going through something.
Yeah.
I need time. You would give it to her.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely,
having and keeping that internal pressure and not allowing yourself to articulate your needs for healing, but then also honoring them is literally just a ticking time bomb.
Absolutely.
Ticking time
absolutely.
Bomb.
Absolutely. And I think it is rooted in us being told that time is so scarce and that time that we spend on ourselves is almost time wasted, right? Like you need to be doing this, you need to be showing up for work, you need to be working on your business. There's always something else to do, which is external to you and requires you to pour into it, that before you realize it, you're empty and you actually haven't scheduled time to replenish yourself. And this is part in our book, which talks about how everything else is a fruit of you, but it is not what makes you. You make it, right? And so that time to pour back into yourself, to make sure that you're repaired, is what actually allows all these other things to flourish. And I think it's linked to us thinking the healing process has to look a specific way, which often involves us showing up and doing the work. It's also active. And we feel like active means activity and all of that and movement and aggressive. And it's no, sometimes activity actually looks like sitting still.
Yeah.
And that's the active work that you need to be putting in. And I love that you brought up that rhetoric around being the best version of yourself. Because I think recently what I've learned as I've been like just reading more into relationships and platonic relationship building and everything. We were talking about marriage counseling earlier and I was thinking, I actually really want to be a marriage counselor at some point.
I hear it.
I actually would really like, because I think we all need help, Joe.
Oh, man.
When it comes to this relationship building thing, it's really not easy.
Mm.
But one of the things I've learned about the best relationships and the best people is that the best version of ourself is not the complete version of ourself. It's the version of us that's trying, right? What makes relationships work and even our relationship with ourselves and whether we feel safe about ourselves and we trust ourselves is, are you trying,
right?
When we think about romantic relationships, it's not that you want to be with a person that's perfect. You want to be with a person who at least puts in the effort to try to become better. And I think that's what we need to remind ourselves about ourselves.
Yeah.
It's not about showing up as the completely healed version of yourself. It's about putting in the effort. And as long as you're putting in the effort, whatever that looks like, whether it's, you know, going to therapy, doing my journaling, or simply sitting still in a room and allowing yourself to cry, that is a person putting in the work and that's enough. That's the best version of yourself, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's also recognizing that thing of 100% doesn't look the same each day. You know, if you've only got 10% in the tank and you burn that 10%, you've given 100%.
Yeah.
And as much as you may be frustrated that there's a deficit of 90, you didn't have the 90 to begin with to even spend. So why are you frustrated?
Screaming.
You know, so I think we also need to recognize, what does 100 look like today? And do I even need to push myself to do 100 today? Maybe I need to be okay with doing 70.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Actually okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Because it's not all roads that you'll be able to do 100 miles per hour. In fact, that's illegal in most places.
And it's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
It's really dangerous. When you're driving by some really sensitive spots, like, you know, there are them roads where if there's a primary school, it tells you, like, you better slow the heck down. You're going to hurt somebody.
You better be crawling.
Do you get what I mean? And it's because there's a level of unpredictability. Yeah. We don't know if a kid's going to run into the road. Exactly. We don't know if the school gates are open, exactly. right? And so when you're dealing with moving parts and unpredictable parts, proceed with caution and proceed slower, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's even that allowing ourselves to slow down because we need to proceed with caution.
Yeah,
it's complex. It's complex.
Healing is complex, man.
To say the least.
And you know what? I think it's made even more complex by the fact that the forces, the factors are bigger than ourselves.
Absolutely.
And that's where this whole generational element comes in.
You Let's know,
this
talk about it, man.
Idea of generational trauma.
Yeah.
The things that happen to us that are meted out across time and space.
And space.
Can you see that I wanted to be like a National Geographic?
You should do it. Why not?
If you guys are listening and you work within, you know, like documentary producing and all that kind of jazz and you want like a narrator, I narrate.
I love that for you.
Just voice putting myself. Yeah, voiceover work. I would love to. I'll put that out there. I'm a great reader, great narrator. I can create all sorts of. Anyways, back to the topic at hand. Generational trauma.
Generational trauma.
So we've spoken about this across a couple of podcast episodes with specificity around specific relationships, right? So yeah. We've spoken about like relationships with our mothers, our fathers. We've spoken about like just relationships in general.
Yeah.
And one of the toughest things to overcome can sometimes be generational trauma.
Absolutely.
Because of the nature of it, right? Yeah. The longevity that is behind generational trauma, the pressure that there is to be somebody that is the period or the full stop to a cycle or a train of bad things happening within, you know, a family. Talk to me a little bit about that, right? This whole idea of us wanting to be generational curse breakers and standing in the gap, and how sometimes in our pursuit to break generational curses, we end up breaking ourselves even more in the process.
I think the way that I view generational curse breaking has changed a lot.
Talk to us. How's that? I told you I narrate. How's that?
I think the way we see generational curse breaking is often that we're going to do the breaking.
Right.
But I think what I have come to accept is that the things are already broken. I just have to live like they're broken. You know, like I need to start putting the things in place that show I believe that these broken. Things have ended with me. Because we're out here thinking like, oh my gosh, this is so like taxing because I have to do all of the work. And I think this is definitely anchored in faith for me.
Yeah.
But I think accepting that, no, the work's been done. Mm-hmm. Like I can't change the past. I can't automatically change myself. I'm not going to change overnight, but the work's been done. I just now need to work on actively building the life that looks healthier, that looks like the curse is broken. Do you get what I mean? Which looks like learning certain practices to maintain the healing, right? And so I think when I think about like ending generational patterns, I think about the amount of deliverance, to use a really hyper religious term, but like the amount of work you have to do to unlearn and relearn. And I think we forget that what we're now doing is journeying out of one thing into something else,
right?
And now we're in the in-between, and what happens in the in-between matters. One of my favorite books in the Bible is Exodus, and talking about that journey spans across Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, all the way to like Joshua. But like I love the idea of, okay, you're coming out of one thing. You've identified that there's a problem, like a systemic problem, whether it be and it was generational. Like that slavery was generational, like 400 years of slavery. You've got generational things you've learned, right? You've gone from being a really amazing pioneering family to now being a nation of people who have been enslaved. That's a whole centuries of indoctrination, centuries of unhealthy patterns for you, and not living in what you were originally called to be. Now you've been called out of that. Now you've come to the realization that crap, all these things that we've been doing for generation can't work no more. This isn't who we're meant to be. This is not who I'm meant to be. This is not what I want my future to look like. And I've seen actually what my future could look like. I've listened to the podcast. I've read the books. I've seen people living the life I want to live for myself and for my family. Crap, I need to leave this situation, go to that.
Right.
You don't just close that door and the next one opens. There's a huge gap. And that gap isn't necessarily about finances or external things. It's not necessarily about putting in all these work, making the networks. It's more so about unlearning what you're coming from, right?
That's good.
And I think that's what we see with like the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. You're walking around this wilderness period or this wilderness space, right? Where you're meant to be healing, where you're meant to be journeying, but you keep walking in circles because you keep getting caught up in old ways and your desire for the old thing, right? And so I think that's what a lot of us have to almost remember that we are resisting when we are breaking generational curses. This desire for the old, this desire for the old way we used to do things, right? Like this is how people used to cope with stress in my family. They ran to drugs, they ran to alcohol, they ran to pornography, or they were really angry. I know that my future isn't that, but I keep wanting to go back to the old way of doing things because that's the way I know. Do you get what I mean? And so actually the healing journey or the journey of breaking generational curses is really about not only learning something new but unlearning what we used to go to and choosing to leave it behind. Like choosing to recognize that this was not actually healthy and this isn't what we should be carrying with us to the next place, because we can't carry it with us to the next place. Do you know what I mean? And I looked at certain things like when they created the golden calf, and it's just like, you know you're going to worship a specific...
That was such a
do you get what I mean? Moment. It's like, you know you're going, you've got a God with you already, right? But because you can't see him and feel him the way you used to feel the old gods and see the old gods, you're like, let's just create the old thing. How can the old thing get you to the new place?
Right.
You have to choose to let the old thing go. And as much as it's scary, but it's like, but this thing is different to everything I've known, but that thing is freedom. And if you want freedom, you have to pursue freedom. Yesterday I was reading, I've been reading Jackie Hill Perry's devotional upon waking, and I'm catching up, and I'm a few bits behind, but I'm on the day where she talks about Lot's wife and how the Bible tells us to remember Lot's wife. And I think that's the only woman that like later on in the Bible it tells us to remember, like, do not forget about Lot's
wife.
That woman, not Eve, not, you know, people who did great things or even worse things. It's don't forget this woman who, in the pursuit of a new thing, when she was coming out of something, chose to look back to the old, and desire what was being left there. Do you get what I mean? Like, I think we need to remember that in this journey of entering into the lives that we want for ourselves and we know will be healthy for ourselves, the biggest threat is not that this journey will take long, but that you keep looking back. Actually going to be your biggest problem. It's not the challenges you'll face, it's not this frustration, it's the frustration leading you to look back, right? And to do the old things and fall back into the cycle, repeat the same patterns, and that's what you're resisting. So I think it's about now implementing what will help me stop the cycles, what will help me stop what I've learned. And that's where the unlearning and the relearning comes in, because you can't just unlearn, you have to fill that void with something, you know. Nature abhors a vacuum, and if you leave that thing empty and you don't replace it with healthier practices, you're just gonna regress. You're just gonna regress no matter how much you've resisted doing the thing you want to stop. If you haven't replaced that time commitment or that reaction with something else that's healthier and productive, you're just gonna go back to what you know. If it's like, for example, when I used to have like a pornography addiction, I used to find that there were critical times in a day or in a week where I felt super stressed, and that would be my practice. However, when I started to come out of that, it wasn't just about sitting in my bed and now twiddling my thumbs and thinking, God, help me to resist this situation. It was now about, okay, remove yourself from this situation and go for a walk. Do you know what I mean? Replace the old habit with something new, which is more productive, but also just completely shifts your behavior. And so those are the things that I used to do. Did they always work? No. But we got somewhere, you know. we ended up on the other side of that situation, so it was a trying. So I would say with generational curse breaking, now really think about, where are the temptations and when do the temptations arise for you to look back? Is it when you're feeling stressed? Is it when you're feeling like this is taking too long, do you need to cultivate some more patience? Is it when you're alone, do you need to now embed yourself in community more often? Is it when you talk to that person, do you need to stop talking to that person? Do you get what I mean? Like, even think about like healing familial trauma and healing familial wounds. Is it that, for, let me be completely transparent, there are certain family members that I talk to, every time I talk to them, I just feel triggered. Not because they've done something, but there's an area of healing in my own heart, which I'm trying to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've learned is, for a little period of time, I need to stop talking to those people.
And that's okay.
Whilst I addressed what was going on with me. Mm. Not because it was their fault, but there was something I needed to shed. Mm. There was something that I needed to really confront in order to allow moving forward to be productive. I would say reframe the way you see generational curse breaking.
Mm-hmm.
Realize that the burden isn't just on you as well, and that curse has already been broken. It's just now for you to act like it.
Because
what delays you stepping into what you want is you staying in a cycle. Even though you've left, that's already been done, you've already been delivered, that door is shut, your captives have been killed in the sea, it's all
gone,
done
away,
like the people who imprisoned you are gone,
they're out of here,
and you know where you're going.
Yeah.
And it's not actually that far. What will turn an 11-day journey into 40 years is you walking in circles.
It's one of the most outrageous stories in the Bible, man.
It's you walking in circles.
Yeah.
So stop.
It makes me think of, you know, that experiment where they have like fleas or something in like a bucket, and then they put the lid on top of the bucket and they're constantly trying to like jump to be free. And then eventually after a period of time, they remove the lid, but they can only jump as high as the lid was. It is understanding that generational trauma and a lot of the things that we deal with that we're trying to overcome almost acts like that entrapment,
that limitation,
and understanding that even though we have overcome in many circumstances physically, we are, for a lot of people that are even, you know, trying to heal from generational, you know, curse breaking, we're actually out of the situation.
Absolutely.
But we are still in mental, emotional
bondage
by these things.
Literally, your injury has healed, but you're still walking with the limp.
Still walking with the limp.
Unlearn that thing.
And you know what? Sometimes it can be tough, because I think with something like generational trauma, the extent to which the roots go can be surprising to anyone. It makes me think of, TMI, but like, you know, like tapeworms?
Yeah.
Like when they extract a tapeworm and like, this thing grew.
Was it in me?
It was in you and it grew. I think the hold that trauma can have on us can be like a tapeworm, where the conditions, the internal conditions, and the fact that a tapeworm is something that lives inside of us, these conditions can cultivate an environment where trauma can live in us and
absolutely
grow. And I think if you don't extract it, or if you don't chop it off at the root, it's going to keep on growing, festering. It's going to continue to even affect the way that you live, right? Because when a tapeworm grows big, child, you can't be eaten.
Yeah.
The way that you're moving is different. Like, it just actually affects everything about your physicality.
Yeah.
And I think it's that, right? The dedication to uprooting as much as you can in one go is very, very important. Mm. And I love what you were saying around like maintenance, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's something that even within, you know, religious circles or communities that we don't talk about enough.
Mm-mm.
We talk of the work of the initial deliverance, right? This whole idea that, you know, you're free now, like go and run wild. Or like when we think of somebody that we have freed from prison initially, it's the excitement of freedom, but the life on the other side. Have we given them what they need, the resources to build a life outside of their prison?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, whilst they have been initially freed from their trauma, they don't have the tools or the resources to live a life free, to actually live that life out, right?
Yeah.
So what does an active life look like, you know, free from generational trauma? It's exactly what you said. Living with the knowledge that you are free, that you have the capabilities to overcome.
There you go.
And when you find yourself in a condition or circumstance that might threaten that cycle to come back, sometimes it's as simple as running.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's as simple as running. You know, in the Bible, it says to flee.
Yeah, that's where you have to fight. That's where the fight is.
Exactly. And I love what you were saying around taking the pressure off of yourself. If it took a generation for this trauma to continue, then child, I know you want to be the superwoman.
Yeah.
I know you want to be the superwoman that, you know, broke the chains, the destroyer. You know, back in like history when they had all these names for people, right? Like William the Destroyer, the Conqueror, all that kind of stuff. You want to call it Rene the Conqueror, Destroyer, all that jazz.
Yeah.
As wonderful as these terminologies can be, it's an immense amount of pressure.
Absolutely.
And it means that you subliminally, subconsciously start to see yourself as that thing.
Yeah.
Right. And then when you disappoint yourself and fall into the cycle,
yeah.
it's almost like you fall deeper because the height is so
yeah,
high, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like standing at the very top of the mountain, come back down a yeah. little bit and work up bit by bit.
Yeah.
Because child, the fall is high.
Yeah. But also high. When you fall, it doesn't necessarily mean you fall into the bottom of the mountain.
Exactly.
Sometimes you've actually just fall, but you realize you're on the floor, but you're still at the top.
You're still at
it's the okay, just get back up. It's actually okay. You're still at the, it was such a trip.
It's just a little.
You know, you haven't, it hasn't been a grievous fall. And I love what you said about that. Like generational curses can be broken over generations, exactly. right? And I think I literally just realized like, most of the people that left Egypt didn't make it to the promised land,
yeah.
but it took them at least leaving,
yeah.
right? Like in order for future generations to get in. And so whilst you may not complete the work, you do need to start it,
yeah.
right? And it could just be like you choosing to just take the first step of saying, this door is shut. And I may not get it perfect,
yeah.
but that door is shut.
Exactly.
Do you get what I
exactly.
mean? And it's okay because then I can teach my children. And I think this is where we learn to have more compassion for our parents as we get older. But I can teach my children to do better than I do
yeah.
and better than I did. Not because I want to be a hypocrite, but because all I had the strength to do was to leave.
Yes.
But I need them to have the wisdom to walk into
absolutely
it. And I won't be going with them.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, our parents are still toxic,
yeah.
but they don't want us to be toxic.
Yeah,
yeah. Do you get what I mean? So as much as
don't
it's...
Don't do as I do.
Don't do as I do, do as I say. Sometimes we still need to do that because then we won't lay hold. We will also be in this liminal place of in between and experiencing parts of the past and the pain of that, but also still desiring the future if we don't choose to fully step into.
Yeah.
But they start the process. We start the process.
Yeah.
And so whilst you feel like your entire life has not transformed, maybe take joy in the fact that there is wisdom you can still give to generations to come.
Exactly.
And it may not be your physical children if you choose to be child-free, but like it could be your community,
yeah, exactly.
your younger siblings, the people who you love around you.
Absolutely love that, man.
Yeah.
It makes me think of the verse in the Bible that says a good man or a good person leaves an inheritance for their children. And I think sometimes it's not about the finances. Sometimes
yeah.
it's actually about the actual positive
absolutely
mindsets and behaviors that they need to sustain themselves.
Absolutely.
So it's not just overcoming, guys. It's about what you're leaving to.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
on that note, we are leaving you.
Oh,
I know. It feels like this episode has been short because we had a lot of catch-ups yeah, all sorts of things to just... The house needed a deep clean.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you come from holiday and you know when you've just like left everything
empty
in a tip.
Your suitcase and clean the house.
Left everything in a tip.
Yeah. But I think this is actually a really good opportunity to ask you what... If we should revisit this topic
yeah.
and exactly what you would like for us to talk about. Because I think we're at a stage where we have hundreds of episodes,
hundreds,
child. There are
hundreds.
Topics we've talked about. And this was a question we got at that Spotify masterclass. How do you never run out of things to talk about? And I think this topic is so vast
yeah.
that as much as we can just see this episode as starting a conversation and let us know in the comments on Spotify or on YouTube how you want us to go with the conversation and
yeah.
we can revisit it. So ask us questions, send us dilemmas, talk about things which you feel like haven't been introduced to the conversation yet, not just our conversation but
yeah.
the internet, the virtual conversation that is happening around healing. Like
sure.
what would you like people to touch on that hasn't really been touched on? Now I ain't saying we gonna have the right answer.
We absolutely
we
won't.
Won't but
if
we can bring someone.
I was about to say, if there are people that you think would be interesting and you would like to hear from on
yeah.
this podcast,
yeah, yeah.
please let us know. We are in the business of making sure that we platform some incredible voices here,
absolutely.
Whether they are a sister or a brother,
oh, yeah.
but a well-to-do brother. We don't want any, no
riffraff.
Yeah, that's the exact word I was thinking. No
riffraff.
No vagabonds. I learned that in history at GCSE.
Yeah.
I've never let that go. No riffraff, no vagabonds, nothing like that. But yeah. Sisters, we are praying for you. We hope
yeah.
that those that are struggling with healing, going through this seasonal something that is in the air right now, we pray that you have the grace to be able to overcome.
Amen to
and
that.
That you also make space, sufficient space for you to actually rest chill and overcome. Yeah. And we also pray that there are people around you, if you don't know them or if it doesn't feel like it's evident to you who is going to, you know, rise up and support you, I pray that they make themselves known to you in Amen. This next week, and that you have a support system around you to really support you on this journey to healing.
For sure.
But that is a wrap from us. We are wrapped like a Caesar chicken sandwich and gotta get out of here. Back, y'all. Woo! I know y'all missed me. You know, one of the girls in South Africa, quite a few of them came up to me and said I'm funny. And
Courtney,
you were not gonna know.
Funny.
I know you do, but to hear it from the folks that are listening in, I'm like, I may have been giving you guys 70, I'm going to give you 100% of that weirdness energy. So stay tuned. But until
Courtney's like, no, I support it.
But sisters, we love you dearly. Make sure that you continue to support this podcast, this community, the biggest girls community ever, on all of our social media outlets. So we've got the LinkedIn, we've got the Instagram, we've got everything at To My Sister Called everywhere. Come and give us and show us some love. Come and shake a little ass in the comments. You know what I'm saying? Like, respectfully.
Whoa.
Respectfully. And then come and follow my lovely best friend in the creme de la creme at CD Boateng. And of course, come and follow me, your weird and wonderful sister, at Renee Kabuki.
We love to see it. And sign up to the mailing list. We send you weekly love notes, announcements that sometimes don't even make it onto the podcast.
For sure.
This community is moving rapidly. So please sign up to the mailing list so you never miss a beat. You can sign up on our website, tomysisters.com. And yeah, sisters, we hope that you have an amazing week.
Fab week.
We'll come back with tales of what happened in New York City. for real, shout out to Alicia Keys. We'll see you very soon. And as always, keep glowing and growing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.